Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It doesn't take much reading of the Bible to discover that it is filled with metaphors, similes, and images. In the Old Testament, God is sometimes said to be a singer or a composer, a house or a house builder, a spring of water, a potter, a shepherd, or a woman in labor. Jesus uses all sorts of similes in his attempts to describe the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed or yeast mixed with flour, treasure hidden in a field, a pearl of great price, a net cast into the sea, a sower casting seeds which fall on all kinds of soil. In last week's gospel, Jesus metaphorically said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And we could go on and on. All language about God is necessarily symbolic and figurative, writes Richard Rohr. Words are never the thing itself. They can only point toward the thing, unquote. Now, if you're like me, when you first come upon all of these images in the Bible, God is a singer or a shepherd or a woman in labor, Jesus is a true vine and we are the branches. If you're like me, when you first encounter these images and metaphors, you try to make sense of them by turning them over in your mind, analyzing them. God is a potter and we are the clay. That teaches me that God created me and formed me from the beginning, and I need to be grateful to God for creating me. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who sowed seeds on rocky soil, shallow soil, hard soil, and good soil. This teaches me that I should strive to be good soil in which the word of God can grow. Now, such mental analysis of the metaphors, similes, and images in the Bible can be helpful. But the very reason that Jesus and the biblical writers use metaphors, similes, and images is that they convey spiritual truths beyond and underneath any mental analysis. Metaphors, similes, and images can affect us at the level of our souls, our feelings, our experiences, our very being. And often, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit come to us even more powerfully through these other portals than they can come to us through the portal of our mind. Perhaps one of the most relatable examples is the 23rd Psalm. Who among us is not comforted, reassured, and made to feel safe at a deep level of our being when we hear the psalmist declare, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We don't analyze that psalm with our minds. Rather, we allow the image of God as our shepherd to flood our souls with the deep, abiding sense of being always loved and protected by God. If we open ourselves and become receptive at the level of our soul, the same deep sense of being loved and protected that we find in Psalm 23 can be felt when we listen to Jesus say, as we heard a few Sundays ago, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." My friends, Bible passages like these are not meant to be simply processed with our minds, but felt in the depths of our souls, our very being. Today's gospel passage is a continuation and expansion on the metaphor that we read about in last week's gospel, where, if you remember, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The deep meaning of this image as Jesus as a grapevine and we as branches connected to the vine and drawing our life from the vine, the full power and depth of this metaphor is missed if we only stay in our analytical minds. Meditating on the image of Jesus as the true vine and we as the branches, Anglican priest and poet Malcolm Guite asks, "How might it feel to be part of the vine? Not just to see the vineyard from afar, or even pluck the clusters, press the wine, but be grafted in, to feel the stir of inward sap that rises from our root, himself deep planted in the ground of love. To bear within oneself the joy and hope of God's good vintage till it's ripe and whole. What might it mean to bide and to abide in such rich love as makes the poor heart glad? To bear within oneself the joy and hope of God's good vintage. To bide and to abide in such rich love as makes the poor heart glad." If, as the poet asks me, I imagine what it is to be a branch of the true vine and feel the stir of inward sap coming from the vine, well, suddenly that passage comes alive for me. I sense my soul drawing life from that vine planted deep in the ground of love, and I know not in my mind, but in the very cells of my being. I know what it means to draw my life from Christ, without whom I can do nothing. Joy, hope, love, and gladness, these are the fruit of our abiding in the vine, which is Christ. Can you not feel it? When you process this gospel metaphor, not with your mind, but in the depths of your being, I invite you right now to close your eyes for a minute and become that branch drawing your life from the vine. How does it feel to be connected to and draw your life from the Christ vine? Today's gospel reading immediately follows last week's reading about abiding in the vine, which is Christ. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks again about abiding in him. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's a formula that Jesus uses throughout John's gospel. As the Father has, so I have, and so you should. John Shea writes, "There is a higher order of things, and human well-being depends on people aligning themselves with that order." But alignment is a static image, and the love of God about which our gospel speaks is dynamic and alive. And so, rather than alignment, I would like to offer another image, the image of resonance. When our hearts are tuned to the frequency of God's love, they resonate with that love. If we had two violins here in this room in tune with one another, then if you play the A string on the first violin, and then you put your hand over that string so that the sound is silenced, you will still hear the sound of the note A coming from the second violin, albeit much softer, even though you haven't touched that second violin. It's called sympathetic resonance. The string on the first violin vibrates, and that vibration passes through the air and gives energy to the same string on the second violin so that it too vibrates in resonance with the first. We love because God first loved us, John says in his first letter. God is the source of all love, and we can only love in sympathetic resonance with God's love. If you keep my commandments, Jesus says in today's gospel, you will abide in my love. You will resonate with my love. We might see Jesus' commandments as instructions for how to keep ourselves tuned to the vibrational frequency of divine love. Instructions for how to keep our heartstrings free to vibrate and resonate. And then the vibrations of our heartstrings can in turn cause the heartstrings of others to vibrate also, thus sharing God's love song with others, loving one another just as Christ has loved us. Our final hymn today uses this very image. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Tune my heart to resonate with the grace of God. But God's divine resonance is even more expansive than that. In our first hymn today, we heard, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." And have you not experienced it? Those times when you're out in nature, out in our Father's world, and your heartstrings are tuned and open, and you can feel your own heart resonating to the frequency of the divine vibrating through all creation. My friends, the fact that you and I were created in the image and likeness of God means that we were born with our heartstrings tuned to resonate with the vibrations of God's love song. We only get out of tune when we allow our heartstrings to be retuned to the world's siren songs of wealth, superiority, prejudice, judgment, divisiveness, selfishness, identity politics, ego. You know the seductive tunes as well as I do. We hear them all around us. Prayer can be thought of as the receptive and humble process of letting God retune our hearts to sing his grace so that we might once again resonate with the music of the spheres. Richard Rohr notes that without prayer and contemplation, the best you can do is to know by comparison, calculation, and from the limited viewpoint of you. Prayer knows reality in a totally different way. Unquote. Prayer knows reality not by comparison or calculation, but by resonating at the very depths of our being with the vibrations of God's love song. Can you not feel that resonating love energy deep within you when your heart is tuned to sing God's grace?